it's a little bit of a surprise. I suddenly came through the door, shook hands, I was introduced, and then I was asked, would I like to have a little message? It reminds me, it's not the worst that's ever happened to me. If you're a Romanian, and if you're a Romanian Christian, you need to be used to these kind of things. I remember going to a church service, and it was a midweek service. It was like a Thursday night service. It wasn't like a main Sunday service. And after the service, we were supposed to go to a wake. And people said, are you going to come along? So I thought, yeah, I'll go along. And we got to the place where climbing up the stairs, it was one of those communist high-rise block of flats, fourth floor. And we get there, we enter into the house, and for you Brits, for us Brits, I've kind of lived here longer, like a million lived here longer than I've lived in Romania. It's a bit creepy, because you go into the house, and on the table there's the open coffin with a deceased person in the coffin, and it's just covered by a veil. And people gathering around, and you're singing hymns, and prayers, and at one point, one of the elders in the church turns around to me and says, Pastor, a word. What? So thankfully, the Holy Spirit was very quick to push the buttons, and I was able to give a word of encouragement to the family. Another Romanian tradition that we grew up in the church is to have three preachers, so better strap up, we're going home tomorrow. So, well, Sunday's a funny day, isn't it? It always makes me ask the question, what about the day after today for us as God's people, as the church? Somebody once wrote, at the exit doors of the church, the worship starts now. It's an interesting concept, isn't it? We tend to think that we come to worship God in church and then we kind of get on with the rest of our lives, when in fact, worship continues. And life goes on. And I've been pondering a little bit on the incident in Acts chapter 3. Turn with me to Acts chapter 3. We're going to pick up a few verses from there. It's something that I think is quite inspiring. You remember that this happened just after Pentecost. So if you want to know what the church in revival would look like, or what a follower of Jesus that has experienced revival looks like, you've got to read Acts chapter 3. Because Acts chapter 2 was probably the most awesome revival the church has ever seen. Never experienced any church situation at Carnforth where over 2,000 people became Christians. I don't think you guys have experienced anything like that. It's quite an amazing thing. So what happens after God visits his church? One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped up to his feet and began to walk, and then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. This is an amazing expression of the church that had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, this should be our Monday. This should be our Tuesday. This should be our Wednesday. This should be the whole rest of the week. As we gather together and have an encounter with God, there ought to be an expression that is visible and tangible by those around us. And the amazing thing is that Peter and John, ordinary people just like us, are able to have that expression because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And something happens as a result of it. And what really strikes me is how the day starts with them. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Here is a great secret, I think, for us. Priorities shape our destinies. For Peter and John, it started with serving God, worshiping God, putting God first in their lives. And it's amazing how an ordinary day turns into a quite extraordinary day, simply because these guys did something that we could easily laugh at and say, what's the point? They've experienced Pentecost. What's the point in going to the prayer meeting if you want? Yet somehow they learned to put God first in their lives. They learned to treasure Him above everything else. And out of there flows this amazing rest of the day. You and I would know. And it isn't about the quiet time. It's so amazing because so very often I encourage our people not to just have a quiet time. We're having this thing called a quiet time where we kind of tick the box and say, we've met with God, we've read some scripture, we've read the daily devotional, we've prayed for the day, and then we clock on the rest of the day. Imagine if our human relationships would be a little bit like that. I'm just going to meet with Emilian, but I'm going to give him 3 minutes a year that we're going to meet together and talk, and we've clocked in our time. It doesn't work like that. Our relationship with God is about intimacy. And Peter and John go to the temple to pray because they're longing for God and intimacy with God, putting God first. And I think because of their priorities, I think their destiny is shaped by that. And the interesting thing is that you and I would know that in those days when we sort of go with the flow and ignore God, we always look back and we realize we're empty. We've got nothing to give. And then the amazing irony is that in those days when we spend time with God, when we take time to listen to what He's saying to us, how many times through the day you find yourself offering to other people what God has already offered you. And we become an overflow of that which we have experienced ourselves. And Peter and John know this too well. But here is the other thing that really strikes me in this. Do you really think that Peter and John woke up that morning and thought to themselves, you know what, we're going to have an amazing miracle today, and we're going to have this opportunity to share about Jesus to those people around us? I don't think they did. I think they woke up in the morning just like me and you, kind of stumbling, you know, and shaking and reaching out for whatever substitute for caffeine they had in that day. But I can imagine they never thought that their day was going to look like that. For them, it was just going to be another ordinary day. Yet somehow, as they go into the temple, they have this moment when they encounter this man. And here is the other thing. In our lives, ordinary circumstances can provide extraordinary opportunities. What do I mean by that? We go to work. We meet the same people that we meet every day. It's the people that you might meet on the bus. It's the people that you talk to at the newspaper agents. It's the people that serve you in a coffee shop. It's ordinary, mundane, daily things that God wants to use us. Talking to your colleagues at work. So many times people dream and wonder about that missionary experience that's going to be somewhere else. When it's staring us in the face, the people that God is bringing before us every single day of our lives. And it's in the ordinary that God works. And I love that. Because if you were to ask for the extraordinary, I can't subscribe. My life is pretty ordinary. My days are pretty ordinary. I meet ordinary people. Yet God wants to work in us and through us in those ordinary circumstances. And very often we dismiss them. We read the stories of other people. We look back in history and we think, oh, wouldn't it be great if I could do that? Or if I could live that kind of a life. And then we miss the opportunity that God gives to us every day through those people. How about asking the Holy Spirit to give us the eyes and ears of Jesus for tomorrow? So that the people we meet are going to be the very people that we believe God has brought across our path. I want to say to you, there's an amazing gift that God has given you. It's called the gift of listening. There is plenty of talkers around, and there are plenty of people who are interested just in themselves, and very few people around who are ready to listen. And here is the amazing thing about Peter and John. I think the miracle was possible because they paid attention to that man. They would have walked past that man many, many, many times. And again, for us in Romania, we're accustomed to this. You come out of a church, any type of church, any denomination, and outside the church, there are a lot of people begging, asking for money. They really count on the fact that your heart's probably going to be softer and you're going to be guilt-ridden and not deny them some sort of financial help. That would have been the picture for Peter and John as they went to the temple. People would have been outside asking for help, really desperate. And they received many, 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 many times. You know what it's like? You probably know some of the buskers and the homeless people in Lancaster. They would have seen many, many times. And you would have walked past them and their dog, and you know them. You might even know their name. And they blend into the background. And they're just becoming part of the whole picture. And it's easy to ignore them. It's easy not to hear them. It's easy not to see them. Because they've been there all along. And the longer you pass them by, the less you notice them. Well, here is the amazing thing about Peter and John. And I would say this is really important for us. Listening is an act of compassion. Noticing people who are created in God's very image and giving them that dignity of paying attention. And I'm not just talking about the busker. I'm talking about your colleague at work whose marriage is breaking. I'm talking about your elderly neighbor who's absolutely petrified of death. I'm talking about your friends who are dealing with difficult circumstances to deal with the health of their children. That's the kind of people I'm talking about, who are just waiting to be noticed, like that man that Peter and John touched. And I think for me, this is an incredible model of what God wants to do in us and through us, beyond the Sunday. I was sharing a picture this morning with our church. We were talking a little bit about vision. And there's a brilliant cartoon that I absolutely love, where somebody asked the question, where is the church? And the cartoon shows a marketplace, and there are all sorts of people in that whole picture, and there's an arrow saying, this is the church. So there is a bus driver, this is the church. There is somebody at a counter in a shop, this is the church. There is somebody who's pushing a pram, this is the church. There is an elderly person sitting on a bench, this is the church. There is somebody in an office, this is the church. There is a barista in the coffee shop, this is the church. You get the idea. The church is scattered everywhere. And actually the most beautiful thing is not just what happens on a Sunday, but what happens in the rest of the week. And that's what I love about the early church. The early church allowed the gathered to spill out in the scattered. And people began to show what Jesus is like to those around them. I'll leave with you a picture. I remember seeing this clip from a church in the States. And there was this guy who was working as an electrician. And they filmed it. And typical American houses, wooden houses, raised up. And he was working underneath the house at the electrical systems. And he said, you know, the funny thing is, I could be working here and doing a really rubbish job, really cutting down on quality. But he says, part of the fact that I'm a follower of Jesus means that I am doing my trade to the very best of my ability, to serve my customers and bless them and show them God's love. So I'm going to do everything without cutting corners, without making cheap things, without making things in such a way that I'm going to have to come back more often and get more money. And then the other thing that he said, I'm going upstairs, and he says, I'm just looking at the people that I'm serving, and I'm thinking, maybe this lady who's on her own, whose husband has passed away, she's struggling with other things in the home. So I say to her, is there anything else you would like any help with? Maybe there's a screw that needs tightening. Maybe there's an area that she can't reach that I can help with that. So I say to her, if I can help with anything while I'm here, let me know. And if I have the expertise, I'm going to try to do whatever I can. Do go the extra mile. And then right at the very end, he says, can I also invite you to my church? I love my church. It's an amazing place that has brought so much change in my life. And if I can invite you to come along, you would be my honored guest. And I thought to myself, if every single one of us, as part of the gathered Sunday, begins to live through the week with that missional focus, boy, would it look different. And my prayer is that actually we will be able to be those kind of people that because of what God has done in us, we'll be able to live as an overflow to those around us. So think about Peter and John. Think about the amazing miracle that God did through them. And think with expectation about what God can do through us this week in touching people's lives with His love. These guys are doing it in the camp. And it's easy for us to kind of say, hey, it's great for these guys to do it. But what about us? Because God is calling us to partner with them as well as to look at opportunities for us. So we're not just here as spectators, we're collaborators. And they're working in the camp just outside Arad, and we're working in Lancaster, in Carnforth, and to the ends of the earth. And that's the beauty of being part of God's family. So my prayer is that this week will look a bit different than it looked last week. And it wouldn't be dull, it wouldn't feel like I'm just doing 9 to 5, but actually it would be a week filled with meaningful encounters with people where I can show and share the love of Christ. God bless you.